Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
All right, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. My name is Scott McKenzie, but you know that because you're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast. We are broadcasting live from IoT Solutions World Congress, Barcelona, Spain. Wonderful place, great food, great people. Everything's great about Barcelona, Spain. And it's brought to you by the wonderful people at Industrial Internet Consortium. That's IIC.org. Go to IIC.org and you're saying, Scott, I want to know more about IoT, IIoT, security, AI, machine learning. You know, the only place that you need to go is IIConsortium.org. They have it there. And you know what? It's free. How about that? No friction, nothing but the best for you. So go to that, IIConsortium.org. Find out more. They're wonderful people, and you can reach out. They won't bite. Hi, Sven.
Hey, Scott.
I've got Sven here. He's a security guy.
Cybersecurity.
Cybersecurity.
Because otherwise, I sound like a guard.
Hey, you know, I never thought about that. Yeah. But here in this technology space, I just assume that everybody knows that it's cybersecurity. And in the automotive space. So when you think of professionals within the cybersecurity space, is the first person you think about Sandy? She's the best, isn't she?
Sandy is awesome. I love Sandy.
See, I interviewed her.
She's here today.
I interviewed her.
I haven't seen her forever.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
She mentioned your name a couple of times.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right, with curse words attached.
Probably.
Yeah.
No, heavens. We don't curse on the podcast here. We curse after the podcast and before the podcast.
Don't you have the little bleep button?
It does. As you can tell, as we broadcast from this particular conference, it picks up everything. So there's no bleeping out of anything. Somebody will hear it.
Nice. I love it.
All right. For the listeners there, Sven, give us a little background, who you are, who you're working with, and what you're all about.
Okay. Well, so Sven Schrecker, I'm the Vice President of Cybersecurity at LHP Engineering Solutions. So we're an automotive services company. So we're in the automotive industry. We support the manufacturers, the OEMs, right? And then all of their supply chain. So in automotive, there's a really deep supply chain. So you've got the tier ones and the tier twos. The OEMs, they actually don't build the components. They assemble the cars. They're more of a systems integrator. So they define the requirements. They define the architecture. But then they push all that down the supply chain. So the big tier ones will take that and start building parts of it, push it down their supply chain. Tier twos get it, put pieces together, and then it all comes back up together. And then the OEMs actually assemble the vehicle in their factories, in their manufacturing.
But what's interesting, Sven, is we had this conversation last year, and it's been on my mind, and it really has. It's been on my mind for some time. How much tech that exists today in the automotive world, specifically to just keeping that car running, but then a component of that, which I never knew, telling you right now, is I'm bald, is the security element associated with that, and that's what you focus in on, is because just like any other tech, it's crackable or potentially crackable,
right?
You can penetrate.
Yeah, well, I mean, think about what the car is even today, right? It's a it's a rolling computer.
That's all it is.
I mean, it's literally everything is lights and gadgets and all the electronics on the thing, right? I mean, there's an average like 140 processors on there. So there's so much going on. Think about your seats, right? They're controlled by motors that are controlled by electronics. All of the mirror motors. You're talking about all of the engines, the electronics, and the brakes, and everything, right?
Everything.
The windows. All of it. So, and the interesting thing is that it's evolved over time, right? So it's not like these things suddenly became electronic. It's been over time, and along with that came some maturity, like in functional safety. So functional safety. So safety is like the seat belts and the bumpers and things like that. That's where they crash the car and see if the dummy survives. Not a job you want to have, being the dummy anyway.
sometimes you but I just want to make sure that everybody understands I'm here at this particular conference and I feel like the dummy because I'm not the smartest, sharpest tool in the shed here.
Yeah, but you're smart enough to avoid getting rammed into a wall at 60 miles an hour. So there's something for you. So that's the safety part. The functional safety part is around the electronic components, right? So you come in with the hazards and you say, you know, how would this behave, you know, on a country road, in traffic, at night, in the rain, you know, what would a scenario be there for that? Or parked on a hill, you know, right. for 40, that kind of a thing. So you start looking at all these different scenarios and identifying places where there are potential issues. So the functional safety addresses that, and it's something that is certified. It's something that there's, you know, a lot of activity around. So it's a very mature process, some hardcore calculations for random hardware failures. So the component builders, for every resistor you buy, every capacitor, they have metrics on it, so you can actually apply calculations and figure out what is the likelihood of random failures, how do those cascade, et cetera, so there's all kinds of really detailed calculations in there for functional safety. And then you get to cybersecurity, and it's like, all right, well, let's build a little, you know, 3x3 matrix, and you're in the green square, so you're good. And you know, that wasn't a lot of analysis behind that, and it's just there's no foundation like there is in functional safety. So there are no metrics that come off the component. Nobody declares what their cybersecurity is, and I'm not sure anybody ever would and say, hey, yeah, we don't have any, or it's not very good, right? It's just not something that happens. And so really the cybersecurity gets implemented very, very late in the process, or gets evaluated very late in the process, and it makes it really hard to figure out how effective is it. And the other thing about cybersecurity is it's asymmetric. So it's not like functional safety where you go through and you figure out all the hazards up front. Cybersecurity is something that evolves over time.
It does. It never stops.
And by definition, it's somebody doing something that you didn't think of. How do you prepare for that?
Yeah, you don't.
Right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, you have to, right? Yeah. You have to make it secure.
Yeah.
Well, it'll never be secure, but you have to make it
more of a challenge. Yeah.
It needs to be sufficiently secure, but then who defines what's sufficient?
Yeah.
Right? And in any industry, that's really hard to do. But in automotive, I mean, how do you do that?
So are you getting some traction associated with people saying, yeah, hey, this is important? Let me just sort of, I have a 57 Chevy. It has nothing. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't have anything.
That's
it's right. just I can
it's
change
a carburetor.
It has a carburetor with points, and then I can change the spark plugs, and
That's
I can
right.
do everything.
That's right.
Today I can't. No, I just it's impossible. But what is intriguing is the fact that you're making inroads, mm-hmm. and the necessity to be able to secure that traveling computer.
Yeah,
that's important.
Right.
Because with that level of technology, that level of sophistication, cars are better. They just are. I like it. And it's amazing. So how long have you been doing this and working in this sort of world?
So the world is actually pretty mature now. So, I mean, cybersecurity for the last 20 years almost. So that's been a while now. So we got that down.
Yeah, that's fine.
That,
that's,
right?
you know, it, yeah, absolutely.
Right?
I got that.
That's like industrial security.
Yeah.
Right? And so in that time, I worked in oil and gas, electric grid, smart city, smart building, a little bit of medical. And what I can tell you is that the security techniques and theory is very portable across industries. The implementation is vastly different. You have different standards, different regulations, different guidelines.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and there's different use cases and goals, but the techniques are very portable. So when you come from one industry to another, there's certain stuff you can bring with you. So you bring it into automotive, right, and say, okay, well, what worked in electric grid might work in automotive. And, you know, theoretically, yeah, but in practice, not so much. So,
right.
for example, you come up with a component that needs to be secured, and you have, say, a windshield wiper or something like that. I'm making
right.
something up here, okay? So, you know, you want to go after the windshield wiper and make sure that it's locked down. Well, so somewhere in there, and I don't know anything about windshield wipers per se, somewhere in there's a motor, right, that has
yep.
an electronic controller
yep.
and it has
yep.
some firmware on it.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So if you could compromise
See,
that.
See, it just blows me away. It has firmware on it.
Uh-huh.
It's a doggone windshield wiper. It should just turn it on, but there's more to it.
Right. Well, you do turn it on, but in my truck, it turns itself on. It's got a front-facing camera that's looking for rain spots, and it's only 2016. It's looking for water on the windshield, and then it'll turn it on for you.
See, what type of truck do you have?
Yeah. So I actually have a Dodge truck.
Ford.
Yeah.
Mine doesn't do that.
Well, so, but you have more cup holders, so that makes it.
I do have a lot. That is truth.
Right. So you get it. So this hypothetical windshield wiper. And so it's got this firmware on it. So in other industries, we could lock down that firmware, right? So the actual developer of the firmware, right, is some tier two someplace or even a tier one, I don't know who actually builds these things. They write the code, right? They compile it down. And if they cite it in that moment, it'll be locked forever. And from that point on, you have provenance all the way back to that moment that it was signed. In automotive, there's a couple other things. So there's the firmware, but then there's the calibrations, the configurations, and those things have to actually be configurable in the manufacturing phase. So now you can't lock it down, right? Or you can't lock all of it
down.
Right. So now how do you deal with that? Now how do you get provenance all the way back to the moment it was signed? It has to go through the supply chain. So there's a whole bunch of complexity in automotive that doesn't exist in other industries. So a lot of these theoretical applications of the security become pretty complicated pretty quickly. So it's a pretty interesting world out there.
Just like anything else, you're talking security, but just in the automotive, we'll just use that as the example. In the automotive, they're going to continue to push the envelope, even in their design. They're going to continue to push it, because they're always focused on whatever the drivers. Let's say safety and reliability.
These are the drivers. So those are the followers. Those are the things that have to keep up. Right, the things that are actually driving it are autonomous. Connected and electrified, right? Those are the big three in automotive right now. So everybody wants to have autonomous driving, right? Autonomous level 5 driving, but that's not there, right? So we have some driver assistance, right?
Yeah,
we have some takeover of control, right? So that exists to some degree. I think what's more likely to hit in sort of sub verticals, like in equipment and mining, that kind of stuff, I think you'll see more autonomy there. So I know that there's some autonomous bobcats out there, right?
Yes.
They're not on a road. It's not packed with people. There's things you need to be careful of, but it's a different use case.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit more stable for autonomy, right? On the road cars.
Absolutely.
There's one accident, and that thing's going to come to a halt. You're going to back off 3 steps, figure out what went wrong, make sure it never happens again. It's a lot more stable in some of these other sub verticals. Something like the last mile, they call it, for like if you go to a university or something like that, and then you still got to walk to class, so that little autonomous shuttle system to get you there, right? That kind of stuff. It's a lot. It's sort of a special use case that allows the technology to mature. I think it'll catch on in those kinds of things. It'll become more and more mainstream. And then the next thing, it could be like trucking or something like that. I think there's some autonomous trucks out there that can just have their basic rules and know what to do. But the consumer vehicle is probably the hardest use case. And just to get to that level, I think that's going to be a little while.
Yeah. Do you have any issues like the moral issues? Do you ever talk about that? Like, let's say for trucking.
I'm a security guy.
If you look at the use case for a truck, it does make sense.
Yeah.
If you can try to figure out a way of being able to create an autonomous solution there,
right?
Why not?
Okay, well, so let's look at that, right? So take a truck, right? So it's going to be the same three drivers, autonomous, connected, and electrified, right? So maybe the electrified is not the big deal for the truck. I don't know. There's some let's skip the electrification part, right? So the connected part, right, needs to be connected. It needs to, share telemetry information because it's a truck, right? They need to track it. It's got fleet management. It's got all kinds of stuff on top of it, right? And the updates and things like that. So that has to be there, but it exposes a whole new attack vector from the security perspective. The autonomous part, theoretically, should optimize. It should make it safer, right? It should add all of these really great features to it. And it does, right? And those are the drivers, right? But now you need to think about the safety, right? So now that it's autonomous, aren't there a whole bunch of things that could go wrong, right, that the algorithms weren't prepared for? We don't really know. The functional safety could be compromised by cybersecurity attacks, right? So how does that factor into it? So what is the actual safety of these things? The jury's kind of out on that right now. So on the morality front, I don't know how we can do any better. We're not going to stop this, right? That once it goes in motion, you're not going to stop the technology because it just makes too much sense. We just need to keep a grasp on it. So the safety, the reliability, the security, the privacy, that's a big issue, right?
It's huge.
It just needs to keep track. But those will never be the drivers. Those are the followers.
Isn't that interesting? Because when I say the morals, it's just like mining, okay? I understand autonomy. Very harsh environment, working hard. You can theoretically mine for 24/7.
Yeah.
given the fact that you don't have to have truck drivers break or whatever.
Right.
And you can monitor that asset. Yeah, it's getting ready to fail or whatever. You can do all of that stuff, and then it's really a very controllable environment.
Right.
And I understand going outside of that and on the road and people are at risk, but I can see the same thing happen with trucks. Mm-hmm. And so you're putting people out of work, theoretically.
Well, okay, so that's a big topic for IoT in general,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it is.
So, I you know, all right. So
I don't have an answer to it.
Well,
but
I
once again, to
answer.
Your point.
Well, but can I comment
yeah.
on that? So, I mean, the
No, I want to cut you off, Sven. I don't care what you have to say.
I keep asking questions. Well, because you are an industry professional.
I am.
Right?
I am the leader. In fact, I have the number one industrial-specific podcast in the galaxy.
Right.
No, in the universe. I just changed it right then and there.
Nice.
Universe. Nobody else is
but,
better.
But not in the multiverse, huh? Right.
Boom. My head.
Yeah.
I guarantee it multiverse too. I don't care. I'm it.
Nice. I was just wondering what an industry professional is.
It's a voice like this. I'm an industry guy.
Oh, I love it.
Because I can sit there and talk and walk. And I understand what you're saying.
Yeah. I love your voice. And the good thing is nobody can replace you.
My money maker. I am eye candy, by the way.
I love it.
So go back. Okay. I mean, I'm serious about the answering because that's interesting to me.
Okay, so the jobs, right? So and I have to speculate because I don't have any hard metrics here. I don't think the total number of jobs is going to change. I mean, think about the Industrial Revolution, right? So the first one, right?
Yep.
So we went from people power and animal power to steam and mechanization, right? There was still work to be done. It was just done in a different way, right? They created new jobs, new kind of jobs.
Right,
and
right.
Then came the second Industrial Revolution with electricity. So now you got factories and you got whatever else they
right.
did, right? The automation or whatever, right? The what's it called? The
cotton gin. I have no concept.
Yeah,
I'm following it, baby.
The thing that Ford did, right?
Yeah,
the conveyor belt. The
that's right. It's
whatever it's called, right?
Dang it! I know what you're talking about.
It's like at the tip of my tongue.
And you're in the car business too.
I know, right? I don't build them though.
Okay, we got it. It's that we got it. Continue to talk, and I not listen to you because now I'm it's
I know. I'll
assembly
talk.
Line.
Thank you, assembly. I'm glad you said that because I was going to talk about random stuff until I figured that out. No, thank you for figuring that out.
You're welcome. I wasn't going to listen to you until I figured it out.
but we converged once we figured it out.
Yes, we did.
Nice.
We overcame the problem.
That's right. So assembly lines, right? So so that changed things, right? So now there were assembly line jobs, right? And then came the third Industrial Revolution with computers. So now they're actually changing the assembly lines and exchanging them for, you know, robots and things like that. So are we losing jobs? So assembly line jobs are being lost, but who's going to program the robots? Who's going to, right? They're different.
Right.
So it's the evolution there is becoming more complex. It's, you know, Darwin at work.
Yeah.
And so in the fourth Industrial Revolution is, IoT. It's connectedness,
right?
Right
now.
All the little devices.
Digitization, whatever it is.
You know what's really interesting here?
Yeah.
So the first, it took an infinite amount of time to get to the first Industrial Revolution. So since the beginning of time, the beginning of the universe was, 6 billion years,
whatever it is nowadays,
right? So we get to the first Industrial Revolution, and it takes about 100 years to get to the next one when we do the assembly line,
right?
And it was about, give or take, about 50 years till you got to the computers, right? Another 25 years or so till you get to the IoT part.
Yeah.
So that means that this fourth Industrial Revolution should be about half that. Each one's about half, so that should be about 12 years. And we're about 10 and a half into this thing.
Yeah.
So we got,
a couple more years.
Yeah, we've got 2 years left in this one, so number five's coming at us. So what's number five going to be?
Right? What do you think it's going to be?
Well, so whatever it's going to be, I think it's going to be about 6 years long, right? And then the seventh one will be about 3 years long. The eighth one will be about 18 months. Now we're getting into months. The next one goes sub-year, 9 months, right? So what we see here is a trend for evolutionary improvement, right, with escalating complexity at a faster and faster rate, right? It doubles every time, or halves, the time length halves, right? So we're getting exponentially more complex with less half the time to adjust to it. So what happens when we actually reach a point where there is just constant evolution? It just in every direction at once, and the complexity just goes off the board, right? you know, or is this a long walk off a short pier, right? Is this how we have a reset, right? I mean, how do we sustain this? Right now, the controls we have in place across all of the industries, I don't know how you manage that.
I don't
just
either.
The complexity. And with complexity comes security issues.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're just ripe. And the more integrated these things become, right? I mean, it's everything connected to everything. I mean, if you get a complete collapse of that, there's literally nothing.
See, I'm already dazzled by the speed at which this is going.
Yeah.
Just this Industry 4.0. I'm just dazzled by the speed and how the thinking and everything. It's like, and like you said, from a security point of view, it's like, my gosh.
Right.
I don't know how you manage that. But to your point there's always going to have that human element. It's not, you know, that truck might be autonomous. You're not a truck driver anymore, but you better be able to get on it and code it and manage it and whatever the service you could provide for that particular asset.
Right.
It's going to be needed because it's not done today. Right. Somebody's going to have to do it.
Right. Well, and then so you mentioned the jobs,
it.
So there's different jobs. And I think the moral of that story is whatever you do, don't have your kids do that. Have them do the next thing, right? What is the next logical step beyond that? You know what I mean? Well, okay. Except for you, because your kids can do exactly this and be awesome too, huh?
I don't know. Do you know her?
Yes.
Who is
we were in a panel this morning.
Who's it? What's her name?
Elena. No. She's from consulting company. Deloitte. She's from Deloitte.
Okay, good.
Yeah. I do know her. We met this morning.
I'm going to be okay. All right. All right, you listeners. That's Sven. How do you say your last name, Sven?
Schrecker.
Yeah. LHP.
Engineering Solutions.
Engineering Solutions.
Yep.
We're talking automotive. We're talking about security, cybersecurity specifically in the automotive space. You active out there on LinkedIn? You active out there on LinkedIn?
I am, absolutely.
Okay, so you need to reach out to Sven. He's a pretty good guy. He knows his stuff. As you can tell. He's pretty involved in IIC as well, aren't you?
Yeah, I run the, I'm one of the co-chairs of the Security Working Group and one of the co-chairs of the Automotive Security Task Group.
There you have it. That's impressive. Those are credentials. I don't have those credentials.
It's fun stuff.
It is, man.
Yeah, but you have 8 billion, trillion multiverse followers.
That's exactly correct. Right here, Industrial Talk.
That's right.
All right, reach out to him. Once again, we're broadcasting from IoT Solutions World Congress. That is in Barcelona, Spain. That's what we're all about. It's a fantastic event. There's about 18,000, 19,000 people just sort of roaming around. If you could only see it on the camera, you would say, wow, that's a lot of people in the IoT space. And it's brought to you by the wonderful people at Industrial Internet Consortium. Go to II Consortium. If you don't know how to spell consortium, go out to, you'll find it. It's out there. .org. And find out more, because you need to know more about this IoT world, because it's all about digitization, security. That's what Sven's all about. And, you know, solving problems through technology. Thank you again for joining the Industrial Talk. My name is Scott McKenzie. We've got another great interview on its way. So stay tuned.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.